American domestic politics is experiencing some fascinating undercurrents right now, particularly as we see established figures like retiring Senator Tom Tillis making remarkably candid assessments of current leadership. His characterization of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth as making former South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem look like a five-star recruit represents the kind of intra-party criticism that usually stays behind closed doors.
Tillis isn't holding back at all, Marcus. His accusation that Hegseth has repeatedly oversold progress in the Iran war while costs and casualties mount touches on one of the most sensitive aspects of military leadership during active conflict. When a retiring senator from your own party is making these kinds of public statements, it suggests deeper institutional concerns about truth-telling in national security contexts.
The timing is particularly significant because Tillis is also targeting Ken Paxton ahead of Tuesday's Texas Senate primary runoff, calling the Trump-backed candidate a failure on CNN. This represents a remarkable willingness to directly challenge Trump's endorsement choices, especially from someone who won't face electoral consequences for these statements.
What's interesting is how this connects to broader questions about Republican Party direction. Trump's decision to endorse Kansas Senate leader Dan Masterson for governor shows he's still actively shaping candidate selection. But Tillis's criticism suggests there's growing institutional resistance to some of Trump's personnel choices, particularly in national security roles.
The Democratic side presents its own strategic complexities. Early positioning for 2028 is already underway, with potential candidates seeking Elizabeth Warren's backing. This is fascinating because Warren represents both progressive credibility and institutional knowledge about how to build effective campaign organizations. Her endorsement could significantly shape the ideological direction of the eventual Democratic nominee.
The federal-state tensions we're seeing also reveal important political dynamics. Governor Newsom's request for federal aid over a toxic chemical tank threatening Orange County creates an interesting test case for how the Trump administration handles disaster response in blue states. These interactions often become templates for broader federal-state relationships.
California's passage of a sweeping Voting Rights Act after the Supreme Court weakened federal law illustrates how states are taking independent action on issues where federal policy has shifted. This kind of state-level policy innovation often creates laboratories for approaches that eventually influence national politics.
The immigration policy changes we're seeing are particularly revealing. USCIS instructing officers to treat in-country green card applications as extraordinary rather than routine represents a significant operational shift that affects thousands of families, but receives relatively little public attention compared to more visible immigration enforcement actions.
There's also this fascinating personal dimension with Trump deciding to skip his son Don Jr.'s wedding, citing the Iran war. Personal sacrifices for presidential duties are common, but the public nature of this particular decision creates interesting optics about priorities and family relationships under the pressures of high office.
The DOJ's anti-weaponization fund, facing both GOP revolt and three federal lawsuits, highlights how even well-intentioned institutional reforms can become sources of political conflict. When efforts to depoliticize government become themselves politicized, it suggests deeper challenges about restoring institutional trust.
What's particularly striking is how these various political tensions intersect with the foreign policy crises we discussed earlier. Trump's decision to repeatedly sideline Vice President Vance from Iran negotiations reflects domestic political calculations about who can be trusted with sensitive diplomatic work, but it also affects the actual conduct of international relations.
The federal law enforcement dimension adds another layer of complexity. The case involving a $500 million Ponzi scheme where feds are seeking to seize homes and cars illustrates how white-collar crime enforcement continues even amid broader political upheavals. These cases often take years to develop and prosecute, creating interesting questions about consistency across different administrations.
Memorial Day observations this year carried particular weight given ongoing military commitments. The ceremonies at Margraten honoring fallen U.S. soldiers provided a somber backdrop for current foreign policy debates, reminding political leaders and the public about the human costs of international engagement.
Looking at these political dynamics holistically, we're seeing a period where traditional party discipline is weakening while institutional pressures are intensifying. Retiring politicians like Tillis feel free to speak more candidly. Early presidential positioning is starting earlier, and state-federal tensions are creating new political battlegrounds.
The question for the remainder of Trump's term is whether these various political pressures create incentives for compromise and institutional stability, or whether they accelerate political polarization. The Iran negotiations provide a test case. Successful diplomacy typically requires sustained domestic political support, but partisan divisions can make even successful agreements politically vulnerable.